I want to talk today about, and I won't be long, everybody, I'll be quick, about, or let me, before I start, we were at the, let's say, the family missions in Rundu, and this is where my whole sermon comes from, is, you know, I've been to previous missions in Chofa, which was mostly, there were no kids involved. This time there was lots of kids, so this mission was completely different than the other ones, where we had a very tight schedule, and it's, you know, it's all spiritual things. We pray, or we, etc. This one was quite relaxed. We did one church thing, one spiritual thing, well, that we could call spiritual, every day. The first day we went out and evangelized in the town. The second day we had church, and the third day we just visited people in the village. That's all we did. So if you look at it from that perspective, we didn't do a lot, but I changed. And I was also sick the whole time. But when I came back, you know, it is, and also I'm not the world's most equipped camping person, which I thought I was quite equipped when I arrived there. I had my tent that I borrowed, etc. And then I saw Jaco start unpacking his tent, like veranda. He has got a tent, and then he's not here to defend himself, and then he's got a area where the kitchen is, and then there's another one where the kids can play, and I felt a bit out camped. but anyway, things happened. When I came back, and I was even sick, I had mumps, you know, these bumpoinkies afterwards. I think I got it there somewhere, but anyway. So I was sick the whole time, but there was something that happened in me, and I was like, those people that went with us, it was also nice because the kids could play and run everywhere. They felt like my family. Their children felt like my children. We felt this bond of something happening. And that's where this sermon comes from. And you know, Jaco's been preaching about church for 3 weeks now. Now this is going to be the fourth week you're going to hear about church. Hopefully, or I don't know, something changes next week. Yes, I know it's changing. He told me what he's preaching about. But so when, even 2 weeks ago, when I heard he's preaching the series, then I thought, oh goodness. So now I'm going to preach for the fourth week on church. And I thought about changing it, but I'm not going to change it. Because I really think, you know, there's a passage of scripture in the Bible where it's the bath of Bethesda. I think it's Bethesda. Anyway, where the water, the lame, sick people would lie on the sides, and even when the angel came down to stir the waters, that's when the healing and the anointing of God was there, and so you had to then get into the bath and then get healed. And I believe there's such a stirring on church aspects now. There's an anointing for God to heal us in this area. There's an anointing for God to set His church on, well, His bride on a closer path, if I can put it, closer to His perfect will. Are you with me? So you must embrace it and ask God to do that work in your heart. And I was very blessed with what Rulin said now, and it's all starting to make, well, God is just, I don't know what He's doing, but I know He's doing something, and I can see it's surrounding His church. So I like that. It's nice when you get confirmation, etc. Just for those of you that might come to the evening service, I'm going to preach the same thing. All right? Just so that you know, you're not going to be surprised. It will be the same sermon. So maybe you can come. I won't worry. I won't mind. But it will be the same. I didn't have a second sermon. Okay. The first scripture, and we can almost stand just on that scripture. It is Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. I don't have it in the Amplified, but that's fine. If we look at the word dwell, and I just want to stop. What I experienced at that missions, and what I'm starting to experience more and more, is a dwelling. I feel part of a family. It feels like we're dwelling together. God is, it's not just a bunch of people meeting together. There's something, and that's exactly what happened at the mission. We did almost nothing. We had lots of nice braai meat and chill time on the river. So we didn't, it's not like we had a full schedule of seeking God. But something happened. And it's this dwelling that happened. It's this, this is where God's starting to show me things. Or, and I'm just enjoying it. And what, if you look at the definition of that word to dwell. So, what you must think about this whole sermon through. You must ask yourself, am I dwelling? Dwelling is not just lodging, staying over, bed and breakfast, then you leave again. Dwelling is it's a complex thing. It's something we're experiencing it positively. Are you dwelling? Are you dwelling with God? Are you dwelling in, do you experience church like that? Are you with me? Am I making you think? Somebody must say yes. All right, thank you. Because God wants to help us then. Dwelling means to abide, to remain, to tarry. I like that word. Tarry is like almost, you know, I don't know what tarry means. What does tarry mean? It's like you're waiting, you're waiting expectantly or something like that. You settled. I like the next one. Endure. Can I just hang on that one? In church, we must learn to endure each other. We must learn not to run away whenever somebody irritates us. Whenever somebody says something that hurts you. I use marriage as an example. If you get married one day and you think you're marrying a perfect wife and you think you're a perfect husband, I've got a surprise for you. Your wife's not perfect and you're not perfect. Let me rather focus on myself and not my wife. Because she's here. It is. Every now and then I do. And I honestly, man, marriage just brings up, or highlights your mistakes. That's all I can say. Then every now and then I make terrible mistakes. Sometimes I even make them and I don't know I've made them. She knows it. But if you're going to, if you want a marriage where that every time you make a mistake or your wife makes a mistake, there must be reconciliation. She must acknowledge it. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes people just make mistakes and we go on. It's marriage. It's where the scripture says love covers a multitude of sins. It is somewhere where you realize, okay, you know, we just have to go on. Bless her. And she must bless me. We go on. We endure. Now, endure, it sounds like we're suffering all the time and we're just hanging on. It's not that bad, but in church, we have to endure each other every now and then. Every now and then when you don't agree with what the pastor says, the way he says it, he always talks about rugby, I like soccer, you know, whatever. Like last week, if you didn't like rugby, you would have had a bad Sunday. Because Jacques only preached about rugby. Not rugby, but he used rugby pictures. We have to learn to endure each other. And that's, I love our church that we've got all kinds of colored people here and, you know, colors, white, from white to black. And God knows we've got different cultures and it rubs each other up the wrong way every now and then. But we must show the world that we can endure each other. Amen. We can dwell in unity. This one likes braai, this one likes poiki, and this one likes vegetables. That's fine. We have to endure it. We have to endure each other. This one talks like that. This one prays like that. This one says hallelujah every three words. Now, you can't leave church if you don't like that. Because we're not dwelling then. Are you with me? That's what dwelling means, to endure it, to continue, to return. But okay. So, and one exercises this quite vigorously in small groups. You know, where there's different attitudes and different perceptions, etc. That's where you practice this dwelling. That's where you say, I'm coming back, even though Brother Pitt irritates me or something. That's where you practice this dwelling. That's where God wants to get us, where we can overrule this, all the fleshly things, and we link in the spirit. The second piece, unity. Dwell in unity. It's not only that we dwell. It's not about the amount of barbecues we have. It's also the dwelling in unity. Unity means unity. It means likewise. It means alike. It means together. God really doesn't want you to sit in church, and that every time often when Yaku shares something, that it clashes with you and in your heart. He doesn't want that. Every now and then it happens, but then we have to fight and work through things. And what I've experienced is my heart, no, I don't want to brag or anything. It's not about me, but I feel quite united, you know. I can see where our church is going. I can see where Yaku is going, and there's no clash. It's unity. It's like when he says, Rundu, Walfish Bay, it's like, yeah, understand, yeah. But so often in church, it's like, I don't believe the way you believe. And okay, we're gonna differ on things, that's fine. But that clashing in the spirit, that's, God doesn't want that in his church. He wants us to dwell in unity. He wants us to be alike, to be likewise, to be together. Amen. Are you dwelling? My question to you, are you dwelling? Dwelling would be accompanied by a spiritual, you know, every now and then we can be spiritually frustrated, and we probably should be frustrated about where we're not yet constantly, but there should be a peace in your heart that I'm in the right place. It's not that strife. We shouldn't have that. It's not what the Bible tells me to have. Okay, let me explain something else. Part of the vine. Are you part of the vine? In John 15 verse 1. I'm the true vine, not wine. Vine. And my Father, from the vine comes the wine. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you cannot do nothing. Let me just go back to a scripture that Yaku used a couple of Sundays or sermons ago. Ephesians 2 verse 10, where he says, we've been called for good works, to walk in those good works. And I think he used another scripture where it's, this church must equip us, each other, to walk in those good works. You remember that? Now this scripture says that unless you're in the vine, and I'll talk about that a little bit, you won't bear any fruit. So I want to make a connection between that, those good works, and the fruit that this one speaks about. It's the same thing. Are you with me? We must walk in those good works. We must bear the fruits. But this scripture says we cannot bear that fruit unless we are connected to the vine. Now, okay, we don't know wine too much. Let's just use a normal tree. It's fine. That works also. Jesus says that I am the vine. I am the root system and the main system of this tree. That's me. You, he says, are the branches. You're the leaves. You're the smaller parts. And God is the vine dresser, the one that prunes every now and then. The one that needs to cut here or see, okay, this is a little bit, you know, cut there. And we should see church like this. We have different churches, Shofar here, we've got an AFM there. They might be different branches of this tree, but the church as a whole is this tree. And you know what happens when people get offended? Because there's lots of leaves. Now the one leaf, brother, offends you. Even your pastor offends you. Can I just prepare you that your pastor, and me included, is going to say things that you don't agree. We're even going to, let me go past that. We're going to make mistakes. You can call it sin, yes. And it can offend and can hurt you. Now we decide as a leaf, let me pluck myself out of here and go. You know what it does? It takes you from the root, the vine, which is Jesus. You can be offended with your brother, but please don't remove yourself because you're not connected to the vine then. Are you with me? And we see that happening all over. Okay, I don't want to hammer too much. I think everybody hears. You love your church. That's what Yaku said last time. But we really have to help people. And I see it's a constant battle. But we have to help people that have that have stopped visiting church. I don't want to say visit. That have stopped dwelling in church. Because we can even have people in here and they're not dwelling in church. We must help people. I'll show you why later. John 17. So let me just recap. Jesus is the vine. I saw this nice YouTube clip last night because there's another scripture that speaks about being grafted into the vine. That's quite interesting. Have you seen what that means? It could be a vine, and that vine does not produce the kind of wine you want, not the right flavors. Now, in order to save time, now they find another vine that produces the correct and the flavor that they want. Then they can graft that vine. They can cut a piece from it. Now, there's a way of doing it. They will cut this other vine completely, all the branches off, and they would graft in that branch from another tree in there. And then it would grow, and it would have the flavor of that vine there. But they save all that time, because you don't want to grow the vine from the seed, everything. So they would graft it in there, and then it would grow and give that flavor. But anyway, scripture there talks about that's exactly what God did. This is another sermon. But with the Gentiles, we're all Gentiles. Carol is a Jew. Nobody else is a Jew here, I think. That's what God did with the Jews. He said, I've grafted you into the vine. I've taken you. You can have part of the source. But let me go on. God wants you to be grafted into, taking from the source, which is Jesus Christ, somewhere in the church. I must move on. Okay. John 17. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. This is Jesus speaking. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Now this is Jesus Christ speaking, and he speaks about the unity that Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit has. The Trinity. Jesus is saying, we're one. We feel the same. We're in unity. Father, I pray that my church will have that same unity. That communion, that fellowship, that relationship that the Trinity, God, Father, and Holy Spirit has. God says, that's what I want for you. That blessing that they walk in, I want that blessing for them as well. And what happens is, where do I want to say that, now or later? No, let me go to now. But what happens is sometimes we remove ourselves. And I just want to say, removing yourselves can mean, it doesn't mean you just don't come to church anymore. You've removed yourself completely. It could also be that there's this strife in your heart and there's this constant scratching in your heart with, I'm not with him. That can also, you also removed. And I'm not yet to tell you that you must repent and come back. I'm saying you are removed from the vine. You're missing out on some blessings. That's the plan of the devil everywhere. And all the time it's the same. The devil, what he does with us, if we fall into sin or etc., if we're not so motivated anymore, you know what he does? He takes you and he isolates you. Now you struggle with that thing in your house. You're not talking to a brother about it. You're not going to small group anyway. It's exactly where the devil wants you, because you're removed from the vine. Nothing can come through to you. And part of spiritual maturity is that every now and when we make a mistake, maturity is just running back to God quicker. It doesn't take us 3 months now of backsliding, etc. We realize, I made a mistake. I don't understand this, but I'm going back to the vine. Amen. Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 25. When we were worshipping, this just started making a bit more sense to me. You know, we are, because I was blessed to pray for somebody after the Afrikaans service. We are creatures, creations, that we need encouragement. We won't make it on our own. I guess that's also why God gives us a wife. I've realized my wife was visiting family for 2 weeks. Man, I felt like half a person. First 3 days, I enjoyed my freedom. The last 7 days or whatever was terrible. I feel like half a person. My point is that as Christians, we need each other. And I was blessed to pray for someone, and I could just see that the devil is lying to him. Because just during, in this week, I could see how God is blessing him and his family. Now he comes and he's struggling with all kinds of things. And I realized, but I'm so glad you came to me. I just want to encourage you and tell you, I don't see any of that. I see God is doing an amazing work in your life and your family's life. And the guy could walk away here and say, oh, wow, I'm encouraged. Thank goodness. He wouldn't have received that unless he came and said, help me. We're beings. We are creations. We need that. We cannot operate on our own. Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 25. Okay, anyway, the next slide. We are constantly, it was confirmation to me, and I thank God for it, is that we are constantly attacked. Our confidence is, as Christians, our hope is constantly attacked. And let me read you these next few scriptures, and you'll see that this attack on our confidence, our hope in Christ, will, the attack on that will become more and more and more towards the end times. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Verse 19, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How? Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day? That last bit. What day drawing near? What is this speaking about there? When Jesus comes back, the second coming. It starts with saying, stay in your confidence, have full assurance, keep on to your hope without wavering. How? By not forsaking the assembling together, by not removing yourself from the vine, by dwelling with brothers and sisters. Can you see the devil's plan? Where you think sometimes somebody has hurt you in church and you leave, it's exactly where he wants you, because that's the place where your healing comes, is the encouragement with believers. And I don't know if you've watched the news lately. I'm never one to say that I'm a person that understands the end times, etc. But the things that Jesus says will be signs of the end times coming is happening all around us. And it's happening more frequently. We have the Islamic State going off in the Middle East. We have Russia that's weird. I don't know. I don't want to say it too loud. Might have Vladimir Putin on my case. But we've got this. We've got famine. We've got earthquakes. We've got it's. And this scripture says, as those things come, then especially don't forsake coming together. Why? Because you need to stimulate each other. You need to encourage one another to have the confidence in faith, to have the full assurance of your faith, and to have hope without wavering. Are you with me? I'll just read from the verse 25 from the Amplified. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together. It's on the next slide there. As believers. Now you had it. As is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. I hope you're getting the message, but we have to help people, and God is doing something in our hearts so that we can have this cemented in our lives, that we do not run away from His church. Because if we run away from His church, we are out of the vine, and we can't hear anything from God. I want to make another statement here. I'm almost finished. Is that... Let me make the statement first, and then I'll read this. I believe that some revelation Paul speaks about the depth, the height, the width of God's love. Some of that, I believe, is reserved. And you will not experience it outside the body. We have to be careful here because we cannot, when we stand there at heaven, at the gates, explain, Lord, can I come in because I visited Shofar? No, it will be. The answer will have to be, no, you had a personal relationship with me. That's where it all starts. I'm not taking that away. Church can't give you salvation. You get saved, then you're in a church. But what I am saying is that some degree of God's fullness, of His manifold wisdom, of His manifold love, is reserved to be revealed here. It won't, like Yaku said, I always hope when I say that, share that person is not in church, but that somebody shared that God told him that he must have his quiet time on Sunday mornings when it's church. Now, that verse that I read, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. So, I can quite confidently say that person is not hearing God, because God won't contradict His word. His word says, don't forsake assembling together. You're not hearing right. You're removing yourself from the vine. You're going to get hurt. Are you with me? Help people that think like that. I mean, it's difficult to share it because they can get more offended, but Scripture doesn't say that. Where am I? Ephesians 3 verse 17. Make Christ through your faith. And look at the Scripture. This Scripture doesn't speak about me and my and mine. It doesn't speak in single. It speaks plural. It says ours, yours. Make Christ through your faith. Actually dwell. Settle down, abide. I've been speaking about this, dwelling, settling. Abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, not on your own, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth? So my opinion is that some of God's love can only be revealed to you in the fellowship of the brethren. Are you with me? When we are together, some of His anointing is reserved for this, for coming together like this, for in small group. When that person encourages you, you feel the love of God coming. You cannot experience all of that all on your own. Amen. I'm almost finished. Second last thing I want to share is, I understand why it happens so often. I think I understand that people can remove themselves from church. And that is because they don't know the vine dresser. They don't know the one that, the God that says, but I'm the one that prunes. I look after this whole thing. Because a brother would hurt you, and you know, if Jesus was here, He wouldn't hurt us. But now He's not, so we can get hurt in church. But if we would have a revelation of God and who He is, we would not uproot so quickly. Are you with me? If we understood His heart and who He is as the vine dresser, the one that actually looks after this tree, that makes it grow, we will not uproot ourselves so quickly. So I believe that's a sign of maturity, is if something happens in church and we can say, yes, that brother irritates me and hurt me, but I'm staying. Because I know the vine dresser and I know the vine which is Jesus, and He's good. John 10 verse 4. When He had brought out all of His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from Him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. That same God that is the vine dresser says, I'm the good shepherd. And if we as Christians have a revelation of the good shepherd, when these things happen to us, we won't uproot ourselves. We'll be fine. We'll say, I'll ignore that brother a little bit, or whatever we'll do, but we will understand the answer is not going. And maybe there's some people here that your vision of God, your understanding of God has been blurred, but it's been blurred because of what other Christians have done. What has happened to you? And yes, it can be blurred, but God can help you. They say that, but how that person operates, etc. It's good. It doesn't change me. Do you know who I am? I'm the good shepherd. I'm the vine dresser. Amen. Are you dwelling? That's my question. I'm almost finished. Where's Chrisandre? The first scripture that we read was Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren when brothers dwell in unity. Why? Verse 2. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. This scripture says that where brethren dwell together, God commands a blessing, and their life will be forevermore. Amen. Can we stand? God wants us to abide in Him, but we cannot abide in Him unless we abide in each other as brothers. And that one scripture says that, and I want you to go and pray about it, because I don't really understand it. I can sense there's something deep in there, but the Bible says that as the world sees that we're in unity and dwelling together, then they will know. They will know that it's from God. Where's the scripture? And I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And it says in the next scripture also, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me, them even as you loved me. So there's something there that God says the world will know us. The world will know that God's hand is on us. As he sees the unity. I don't understand it. It's something deep there, but what I want you to see, God wants to bring in a unity among us. God wants us to fall in love with the church. Their church. Their team, like Yaku said. And he wants us to understand where we fit in. But he wants us to understand that yes, offense, sin will come, but I'm the vine dresser. I'm the vine Jesus. I'm the vine dresser God. And he doesn't want us to experience. If you are here this morning and you want God to just start that miracle in your heart, you're not experiencing you are experiencing some strife, but you want Him to anoint that area this morning, then I want you to just raise your hand. Is there somebody that feels like that? You want God to work in that area. Anybody else there? Thank you for that hand. I'm going to close off. Can I ask the lady to come forward, please? We're going to pray for you. I'll close off and I'll pray for her afterwards. If you feel like that also and you want prayer afterwards, just come forward. Father, we thank you. that there is a deliverance through your body, which is the church. Father, I just pray for somebody here that's struggling with deliverance, or you want to be set free from something, and I just want to say that you find yourself in the right place. Just hang around here. Hang, dwell, continue, endure, because your answer is coming, and Christ wants to set you free. I don't know who that is, but I pray for that in Jesus' name, Lord, that your hand will not leave that person, that you will anoint them, Father, that your deliverance will come. We speak deliverance in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you also that you bless each and everyone here, Lord, as we go, that you just work in our hearts. The Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, Lord, and you will knit us together and unite us. Father, I just pray against every confusion that's around this area. You're not the author of confusion, and I thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone.